I saw a thing, actually, a study that said speaking in front of a crowd is considered the number one fear of the average person. I found that amazing. Number two was death. Death is number two? This means to the average person, if you have to be at a funeral, you would rather be in the casket than doing the eulogy.
Welcome to the Haven Exchange podcast number 41. And October is almost over. So what better way to wrap up the spooky season than talking about fear? On this episode, the Haven Exchange crew break down the walls and talk about our top fears, well, some of us do, as well as getting into some of the science and wisdom on fear itself. But first, if you are looking for ways to further support the show beyond listening each week, head on over to patreon.com/HavenExchange to subscribe and support the show. You can even be as cool as Silver Tier Patron subscriber, Nerder She Rhodes. And as always, thank you, and thank you to all our patrons and listeners every week. Now, I hope none of you have phonophobia, the fear of sound, because this is Haven Exchange number 41, Tears for Fears.
No.
Like, what if the nozzle is just, like, busted?
Nah. I've never worried about that.
Let's be honest. For Derek, there's no such thing as too much coming out of the bidet.
No, not at all. I mean, let's get serious, you know? No.
No?
I say, it's okay to admit it. You hate Dave Chappelle, too. We get it.
Wait a minute. You're saying that about me and this motherfucker is over here talking about Jewish people? And
I've never said anything about Jewish people.
Adam Driver?
He just so happens to be Jewish.
Nick Kroll?
He happens to be Jewish.
Christopher Lambert?
He's not Jewish. You gotta,
I'm pretty sure he's Jewish.
It's got some lineage.
Yeah. Got some nerve talking about me.
Wait, how do you go from talking about a bidet to Dave Chappelle and Jews?
That was his pathway. Like, I just followed it. I had nothing to do with that.
I know. To be fair, they all do go together if you watch his new stand-up.
That's funny.
With a bidet?
No, because I was saying that he hates Dave Chappelle because, you know, he likes getting bidet'd up the ass, i.e. he's gay. And then he says something like, you not liking Jews, and Dave Chappelle made several jokes about space Jews.
Well, okay. Way to recap the last 20 seconds.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're all on the same page now.
I feel like if you hook up something as intense as a bidet, like, do you try it out first, or do you just...
No, don't you remember?
Have faith.
He said it only feels weird the first, like, four times. I'm like, why did you go back for the other three?
That's not true. I said it felt weird the first time. And then ever since then, I've...
That's not... we can go back to the tape. You definitely didn't say
blessed
first
butthole
time.
Has he...
The first time I tried it, it was weird. It was definitely weird the first time. But then... No, hell no. Absolutely not. No.
Wouldn't that be the time to use a bidet? Is like public?
No, because people are disgusting, and some dickhead is just gonna pee all over the bidet nozzle and stuff, and then you know you got some dude pee shooting up. Yeah, nah.
Okay, wait, is that a thing you have to worry about now? Is peeing on the nozzle?
No, because I'm the only one that pees. Oh no, wait, not the nozzle, like not the dial. I'm talking about the nozzle that shoots the water out in the toilet.
I didn't even think about that.
My only question is then, do you still have to take showers now?
I do if it's like a cold black. then yeah. A cold. Like if it's a dump,
well, diarrhea. Like,
not even diarrhea, but like if I wake up in the morning, or not even in the morning, but if I go use the bathroom and like my stomach feels like just someone's just playing tennis or something, like yeah, it's gonna be awful in that toilet. I will have to shower after that.
The one time, sure. You poop on the nozzle.
No, I've never done that. I've never done that yet. I've never had that incident.
How do you? I don't. I gotta look at what a bidet actually looks like, because the engineering, like if it's aimed at your hole, how is your hole not aimed at it?
Wait, what? Well, because it's a nozzle that, you know, it's pointing down into the bowl, but the actual water shoots out at a diagonal angle, right? So it's designed to hit, like if you sit,
oh my God.
If you sit on the toilet the right way, it's designed to hit in the, what's not the gooch, but the area that's at the tail.
I take my statement back. I'm afraid of bidets.
Does it like connect like to you like a USB hole?
What?
A USB hole? Ridiculous. Sage, you ever seen those like hitches on the back of a truck that are automatic that pull out like via a button?
Yeah.
Maybe it's like that and it like plugs into you via button press.
Dude, they have
Welcome to the Haven Exchange, everybody.
Oh, yeah, that's probably for the best.
Welcome to the Haven Exchange podcast, a hilarious, random podcast where each week we talk about a brand new topic. Myself, Genesis, and my co-hosts here, who are
Rick Bidet.
That's you not what? You.
You know what's funny? I was gonna
You're
say
Rick's
that.
Bidet.
I was gonna say no. He's not Rick's Bidet. I was gonna say Rick, the bidet user,
Sanchez.
Get a bidet. If you're listening to this, get a bidet.
Bidet,
don't,
mate.
Don't be weird about it. Don't be a weird about it. Just let that shoot that water up that
Oh my God, stop. Stop.
And let it clean it. Let it do its thing. You'll save on toilet paper.
Toilet paper ain't that pricey.
I mean, it's not, but it's extra money that you could be saving towards your other stuff.
And you're helping the environment too.
True. See?
I'm not helping my environment. My ecosystem's all fucked up.
You just want your ecosystem to be swampy and just let it. You
know, oh, okay. Not swampy. Because
so that's
I
weird old Rick.
Oh my God. Yeah, I like that one much better. Weird old Rick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Who are you?
If we're gonna be honest about it, he's Weirdo Rick. Then I have to be Cynical Sage.
Cynical Sage. No, ooh, that's got a good flow to it.
Don't give him the good one and then call me Weirdo Rick.
How like, is that
I'm,
good?
I'm that weird for good. A bidet. You guys need to grow up.
They just discovered that you are the Zodiac killer. So yes, Weirdo Rick.
I'm the Zodiac killer. Oh my goodness!
Yeah, 1960s San Francisco.
Wait a minute. That's very funny coming from you.
So what are we talking about?
Yeah.
Hey, I like puzzles. Okay.
You like puzzles? Okay.
I like puzzles.
What's your favorite puzzle back in 1945? Or.
You know, the ones where you, like, alter newspaper clippings to form phrases and sentences?
Yeah. Which camp were you playing those puzzles at?
I guess my question for you then, Jen, is why is it called puzzles?
That's the puzzle!
How Much Mother Humor. It's okay.
Chris never watched that show.
Big surprise.
What's wrong? He muted. He's so angry. He muted.
How I Met Your Mother, man.
Oh yeah, no, I never watched it.
Yeah,
I'm aware of it. Oh, dude, no, that's not true because I love Seinfeld.
Yeah, good. And Frasier.
And no, Frasier. No, Frasier comes on. It's bedtime.
I thought that was one that you said you liked in the past episodes.
No.
Hey, Rick. Absolutely
not. Yes, sir.
Tell me you're white without telling me you're white. You like Seinfeld.
Okay. I like Seinfeld is the GOAT, though.
Seinfeld is the GOAT.
You know what his real name is?
Jerry?
No. No. Jerry's his stage name. This motherfucker's name is Jerome.
Oh, yeah. They call him that a few times in the show, too.
See, I like man. Seinfeld.
See, no, Rick? He has the Seinfeld is easily one of the whitest shows. And my man has one of the blackest names I've ever heard.
He did that for marketing purposes, you know. He was like, oh yeah, the show tests really well amongst the Caucus Mountains people.
The Caucus Mountains.
Yeah. And then we got Kramer for black people. Sapiens. All black people know that crazy neighbor.
We all know Kramer.
Well, they come to all know him a little later on.
Yeah,
for a much different reason.
That's funny.
He just had, all you had to do was shut the fuck up. So
yeah, he really did. That's all he had to do. He was doing fine until he started dropping the bombs. What were you thinking? Mm. You know what? I can watch that show and not think twice about him doing it. Like, I don't. You know, whatever.
Yeah, no, it's him and freaking Liam Neeson. If they just shut up, nobody would have cared.
Liam Neeson did something.
Well, Liam Neeson's thing doesn't bother me at all because he was just speaking from a place of, like, he didn't understand racism that well until he had that experience. You talking about where he said he was going to go kill? He was waiting for a black bastard. He was looking for.
He went around looking for a random black person to beat up.
No. That's not what he said.
I'm not saying the exact words.
Okay. Yeah. but the context is important. He wasn't looking for a black person to kill. He was looking for a black person to fuck with him that he could then kill. So it wasn't like he was going around just looking for black people.
No, he was because his sister just got attacked.
Right.
And he was just looking for any to let his anger out. He said he was looking for any random black person. But that's besides the point. The thing that I brought this up because is he mentioned this story in an interview for a movie that nobody asked him about it.
Yeah. No. I thought they asked him. Yeah,
no.
They said something about. No. Dude, yeah. No, I'm almost positive. They were something with racism. No,
I watched this so many times. It's completely out the blue. I'm like, why?
You know what, though? You know what? Maybe you're right on that. I could have sworn they asked him something about it. But, I mean, you know, white people have been doing that forever. The Mila Kunis, Ashton Kutcher thing about not bathing their kids. Nobody fucking asked you about that. Why would you give that up freely? Like, now you got DCFS looking at you like, fam, you're not washing your kids' asses? Like what are you doing?
Well, you saw that post the other day. More and more celebrities are coming out saying that they don't shower every day.
Right, people.
There's a lot of studies that say it's harmful for you for everyday showers.
I have read that somewhere. Yeah. And I was like there was something that said like extremely like hot showers can cause different forms of cancer and stuff like that too.
Well, the hot water not only destroys the good bacteria that's living on your body, but it also dries out your skin more, causing you to crack to allow infections and bad bacteria to get in through those like cracks in your skin.
See, and I 100% understand that, but I feel like those studies were only made for white folk because black people had this thing called lotion.
That's fucking.
I think lotion's a scam, though. To be honest, I don't have any science to back that.
What I say?
But if it,
is it a scam? How is it a scam? You're ashy. You put it on. Ash gone. How is that a scam?
And then you're ashy again. But when was the first time you used lotion?
It's like a day later. It's not even the same.
It's built to dry you out so you keep buying more lotion. It's my conspiracy theory for the week.
Oh, my God.
What are we talking about on this episode?
At all.
Yes,
no, none of this is connected whatsoever.
What are we talking about? It's October, so that means it's spooky time, which means we should probably talk about fear. And fear itself.
Okay.
Like fear and loathing in Las Vegas?
Not quite that. But like fear.
Like fear factor?
Fear in general. You know, we have horror movies this whole month. We have decorations that are meant to scare. We got more pranks going on to scare people. Like, what is fear? What are your fears is what we want to know today. We're going to talk a little bit about that. I got some top 10 lists of ultimate fears that I think is interesting because I pulled some from this year, 2021, and to compare it against 2001 and see what you guys think about, like, how the fears have changed. And it's kind of mind-blowing a little bit. But first, define fear for me, Rick, because you're the best at giving definitions.
I am. that's what you're looking for, right? I would say this guy. I would say fear is it's your mind or body's reaction to something that you are afraid of, right? Something that you are. I mean, it could be irrational, right? Or it could be rational, just depending on whatever it is. But I think it's just your body's reaction to whatever it is that is in front of you. Or something may not be in front of you.
Yeah, I think I'd mostly agree with that, although I think the body reaction is secondary. I think it's fear is thought first, and then body reacts to how your thoughts perceive the fear in front of you.
I think it would depend on what type of fear you're talking about, because some things are just instinctual.
Yeah. We have there's basically three categories of fear: rational fear, primal fear, and irrational fear. And I think that's what you're alluding to there. So, for example, rational fears are things that prevent us from dying or killing ourselves, like heights, fear of heights, fear of death itself. Or that would be more primal fear, I should say. Rational fear is maybe being afraid of, I don't know, maybe flying, needles, things like that. A rational fear, which is most of what my fears are made up of, is like supernatural shit that's not proven. It doesn't make logical sense. But Sage, in preparation of this episode, you said you're not afraid of anything.
I'm not afraid of anything. I have a phobia, but it's a, what's the word I'm looking for? You just said, like, it's one of those primal things.
Which is?
I forget how it's actually pronounced. I think it's a triphobia or something like that.
The fear of the number 13?
No. I can't look at pictures of small holes in succession to each other.
Oh, shit. That might small be a fear. That...
It's like dots?
No, like open holes. Like, I guess I looked it up one time. It is a phobia, and I guess it's more primal because they said it's part of your brain that alludes to when we used to see stuff like that, it meant poisonous. So it would make
like a spotted frog or something, or
yeah, like it's here. I'm
trying to figure out what a picture of small holes in succession looks like.
Well, so a photo that I saw
right now,
a photo that I saw a few, this was 10 plus years ago, where it was
I can't look at that.
Yep, it was a woman's, it was a woman's breast. Wait, did you put it in the chat or?
Yeah, I can't look at that. My scan immediately started to crawl.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to look at it either. But if there was a picture a few years ago, it was a woman's breast, and she had...
Yeah, like that's exactly what it is. I can look at that picture. I know what you're talking about.
With the spider eggs or whatever?
Dude, I blocked that on fucking Facebook so hard.
Yeah, dude. That doesn't
do anything for me.
Yeah, of course not, because you're a maniac. I looked at that and was just like, nah, I'm good.
I couldn't do it. Like, I can't even stop scratching now. It's just I saw it once.
So your body is reacting to the imagery. And so what's happening to your body as you see that?
I'm not looking at it anymore. I'm not looking.
No, but what is happening.
Skin just starts to crawl. Like, it makes it so you just can't even look at it, dude. I get antsy and whatnot. Like, it's not like I'm physically afraid of it. It's just very uneasy feeling.
So, yeah, and you said that's due to an evolutionary response to venomous things.
Yeah.
Things of that such. Yeah, seeing the picture now, I see what you mean by, like, holes. That's different from, like, spotted things.
Yeah,
very much. Yeah. So, I mean, that kind of is fear built solely on survival at a primal level, you think, than in the very early days of humanity?
I mean, it kind of had to be.
Yeah. I don't think we would be here without fear.
People weren't smart enough to know, like, ooh, look, maybe I shouldn't do that. I'm pretty sure it took 6, maybe 15 people to realize maybe I shouldn't touch fire.
Maybe, ooh, maybe hot. Don't do that. But that's funny, too, because as a baby, up until adulthood, like, we are penalized by fear at every step of the way.
you touch something, burn, ow, boom, our memory triggers that, like, fear hot or fire hot. And now we're kind of afraid of that because it causes pain. So fear of pain, we see that a lot as babies. And then as you get older, he's fucked up now. But then there's things like, you know, getting in trouble by your parents, and you get like fear of punishment that lasts with us into adulthood. And if we want to do good out of fear of XYZ,
that is called emotional scarring.
Yeah, it's still a fear. Anxiety, stress, that's all other names for fear.
I wouldn't consider anxiety and stress forms of fear.
How?
Because you can be stressed out and not be scared. You can be swamped at work. You're not scared of it.
You could say you're stressed out at work because of there's just too much to do, right? But the connection is you're afraid of the what may happen by not getting that work done.
Exactly. Right. Fear of losing your job. Fear of looking incompetent to your employer.
Well, of course this guy doesn't.
Well, why else would you be stressed then?
Just because there's so much to do and I don't want to do it.
And if you don't do it, what happens?
If I don't do it, I get in trouble or I get fired. And guess what? There's always another job.
Well, you still do it because there's at least a little bit of fear of getting in trouble or losing your job. Otherwise, you wouldn't be stressed.
You would be stressed. It's a natural thing. Stress and fear are not synonymous with one another. They just aren't.
I disagree very much so, because I think you can keep following the thread to see what are you even stressed for.
So what am I even stressed for?
Yeah, if you're like you said, you're stressed because you got a lot of stuff on your
plate. Example, you could have a project that you're working on. Really happy to work on this project. Mm-hmm. And you want to take your time with it to make sure you get it right. Let's say this is your baby. But while you're doing that, your boss or your coworkers or whoever just start dumping more and more stuff on you to do. So you mm-hmm. can't take the care that you would like to on that one project. Now you have to spread it across all these other ones. That's stress. Mm-hmm. That's not fear-based.
I could say that's fear of failure, fear of
how is that fear of
not meeting your expectation?
There's no failure there, though. That's just you not being able to do this in the fashion that you wish to, because now you have to do X, Y, and Z. There's no fear involved there. You're stretching.
We're skewing the commonality of what fear means to people. And that's where there's a little bit of a disconnect.
Stress can be a symptom that comes along with fear, but stress and fear are not the same thing.
Stress is a reaction to fear is how I would define it.
It can be a reaction. I wouldn't say it's the reaction, but it can be a reaction.
No, not the reaction, but yeah, it's a form of reaction.
Because the reaction would be your fight or flight.
Yeah, which I do want to talk a little bit about that later on as well, because that's a pretty interesting thing we've developed. But Rick, what is one of your fears?
I am very much afraid of heights. But I mean, you know, I can get on a plane, you know, no problem to a measure. Right. Mm-hmm. We went to Florida back in March, and the takeoff was probably the scariest thing. But I was terrified to look out the window. Like, for some reason. No, I've been on a flight. Well, my last flight was I was probably like 12 or some shit like that. So it's been.
Didn't you tell me the other day you were scared of strong black women? I don't know. Maybe I heard you wrong or something. I don't know.
I think you heard me wrong. I think you heard me wrong. But
aren't we all?
I don't know why you would add to that, but okay. To each his own, I guess. But no, I think you know what it was for me, man? When I went up in the plane, it was seeing the ground. Like, when you're up in the plane and you see just clouds, I was okay. Mentally, I was just kind of like, you know, I'm just whatever.
It was a new floor, seeing the clouds.
Right. But when you're in a plane and then your mind starts thinking of stuff like, yo, my life and my entire family's life is in the hand of just two assholes sitting up at the front. Like, how do I know that guy caught his wife cheating on him? Or like, what, you know, whatever. And the guy's just having a bad day. Or
starts making up so miles many for everybody.
Dude, there's so many things that go through my head. Now, here's the thing, though. When I was 12, or I was at 12 or 13, completely fine. You know, I think the only reason why I was okay then is because I didn't know shit back then. Like, I think the last time we flew, I think it was maybe a month or two before 9/11. Mm. It was before 9/11, but it was very close to it. And, you know.
No. Man. You see, I should be afraid of heights, considering what happened to me when I was a kid.
Oh.
And for those who don't know, I got stuck upside down on a roller coaster for a couple hours. So, yeah. I should be afraid of heights. Yeah.
Fuck but that.
I would say, are you afraid of roller coasters now?
No, I'm not afraid of them. I just don't like them.
Okay, but that's afraid of them.
No, because I'll get on them. I just don't like them.
You don't have to be tough in front of the audience.
I'm not. I'm being honest. I'll get on them. I just don't like them. But I'm at a weird spot with that because I can say the same thing about things that are the height of a roller coaster. Like, I just don't like. I'm not scared of them. I just don't like them. Because you put me there, I'll feel a little bit uneasy at that height. You put me in an airplane, perfectly fine. I love air. I love it. I want to go skydiving, for God's sake. It's something that if it's too close to the ground, nah. If it's high, the higher up it gets, the better I feel about it.
Hmm. That's an interesting thought because, well, I think it all probably equates to the roller coaster experience.
Yeah.
If you had a bad experience in a plane, that might have doubled down on the fear of heights.
I've had a couple. I had a couple times in a plane where I thought it was it, but I'm still scared.
Yeah, I don't fuck with roller coasters at all.
You ever been in a plane where that turbulence is hitting a little bit too hard, and everybody on them, like it's one of them overnight flights, and everybody wake up and look around, you're like, oh shit, what's going on?
Do you think that that fear when that's happening, like, and you're in that situation, is that a fear of the unknown, a fear of dying, more so than
At that point, honestly, I don't see the purpose of being afraid. Cause,
but you still do. It's natural.
Ain't nothing you can do. You just gotta accept it at that point. You gotta go through them. You gotta go through them stages of grief super fast.
And that's what I was gonna ask you, Rick, is because it sounded more like that's a fear of planes than fear of height. So, like, do you feel that same way when you're like at the top of the Sears Tower and you're looking out the windows?
I've never been on top of
it. I was waiting for it.
A high building, a bridge.
I can think of an account that I went to for work a couple years ago in Evanston, where it overlooks like the whole city, and you can kind of see the lake and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And being up there, it was okay, right? But the only reason why it was okay was because I know I'm in this building, right? But a ladder, I can't. Like, there's no way in hell I'm going up a certain point after a certain point on a ladder. Right?
So, like when I was working at AT&T and having to climb up those 25 foot poles, you were like, you wouldn't been able to do that.
No, I actively ignored job offers that were like if they specified in there like must be able to climb 50 foot ladder. Nah, go fuck yourself. I'm good. I can find work on the ground. I don't need to climb anything.
That's why I think the fear of heights is connected to the fear of falling. So the closer you are to a situation of falling, that fear of heights feels like that's what it is. So if you're overlooking the scenery from the top of like a large hill or something, like that feels a little bit more safe. But if you're on the edge of a cliff overlooking that scenery, I think you would feel a little differently.
Yeah, because like if I'm trying to think of a good example, or when we were driving to and from Georgia a couple of years ago. There's a certain point, and I think it's in Tennessee, where you just drive through mountainous areas, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And, whole family's in the car.
Those are beautiful.
Yeah, no, the scenery is beautiful, but the idea of driving it and knowing that my entire family's life is in my hands and behind the wheel, it's just, it's nerve-wracking. It's not something, and I can't see worth the damn either. Like, I need glasses in order to really, when we were carving pumpkins, I couldn't see Chet. So, like.
He was wielding that 2-foot knife, too, with bad vision. Oh, my God. I didn't tell us that.
I like the record to show that I did not cut myself at all.
No, I ended up doing it.
I wielded that blade very, very professionally.
Wow.
Shut up. But the
it wasn't graceful.
But no, dude, I've gone on ladders, like just helping my parents with something at their house and getting up like they had a gazebo in the backyard, and anytime my mom would want me to help put the top cover back on it, I would not go past like the third or fourth step. And a lot of it has to do with, we kind of boiled it down. A lot of it has to do with the fact that my brother is an asshole, because when I was younger, anytime I would have to climb a ladder or go up a ladder or something like that, anytime my brother was around, he would kind of violently shake the shit. And so there's just fear of some random person coming over and just.
So have you never thought of maybe facing your fear and conquering it?
I mean, I've gone up ladder. I mean, well, I have to a measure, right? Because 20 years ago, I would never go past the third step. Now, you know, I mean, if we're being honest, life is kind of too long. So,
said nobody ever.
No, I'm kidding. But no, I've gone up more steps now. So I'm much, much more comfortable now than I was 20 years ago. But like, no, I'm not getting on no, I'm not climbing up to some AT&T tower pole or some shit like that. So everyone else can have it. No.
So I think that falls more into a rational fear, right? Like something that presents like imminent threat versus like a primal fear that's ingrained in us from early caveman days, right?
Yeah. I feel like that's something, I feel like most people are, maybe not most, but I feel like a lot of people are afraid of heights to measure, right?
I would say that's probably the most common.
Yeah.
Well, we'll find that out in a little bit when we go through the top 10
What about you, Mr. Jen?
Well, we know what he's afraid of already. I feel like we should just make a beeline straight to Sage here.
I'm afraid of dropping the soap.
All right. Well, yeah. Shouldn't we all be fearful of that? Yes. Well, maybe not to Rick, because that's what he does on Sundays, apparently.
Sundays? That's the Lord's Day. We don't, that doesn't happen on Sundays.
Oh, you gotta hit. Never mind.
But
I'm not gonna say it.
That's why. Yeah, I don't even use it a bidet on Sundays. It's the Lord's Day. You don't let things touch your booty when you're all. Come on now.
Yeah, he doesn't use a bidet. He lets Jesus take care of it for him.
I let Jesus give me enemas, or yeah, is that what you're saying?
Jesus. Jesus spelled the same way. I'm here all day.
This guy.
Jesus kind of has to do with one of my fears. A lot of my fears, like the ones that really like get me, are definitely irrational fears. So like getting abducted by aliens is an actual fear of mine.
You can't. No. You can't say rational fears and then that's irrational, what you come out the gate with.
No, irrational. Irrational.
Okay.
Irrational. Okay. That's most of my fears are irrational.
Okay.
Admittedly. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, it probably makes sense because I'm fascinated by the subject matter. But if I'm laying in bed at night watching some alien, like I'm not watching alien stuff because I am afraid that by watching it and having my mindset on it, that there's a higher chance that I will get abducted. So then it makes me even more scared because like they're hearing me, my thoughts, man. And they're saying like, oh, this guy's into us. Let's do it. And then I'm going to have a Rick Sunday evening on an alien ship getting probed.
I can't remember what I was watching, but somebody brought up a very good point. And they're like, you want us to believe this highly advanced species would travel thousands of light years to come here. And the first thing they want to do is stick something up our ass.
I mean, it's what we do.
Oh, my goodness.
We go all the way deep into the Amazon forest to find some snake to shove a rod up its beehole.
No, we dissect it. There's a difference.
Not all the time. We want live species. We want live
specimens. Yeah, and we monitor
we
them.
We poke and prod, and we stick things up their holes and whatnot. I mean, we do it. So that's why we, like, and kind of on a unrelated subject, but, like, a lot of those fears that we have are fears because we think that's something that we would do. So we are most afraid of getting probed by something unknown and being out of control. So we assume that's what other unknown things would do to us, because that's what now, we would technically do.
I feel like this is a stretch, but I feel like it needs to be said. Now, could that fear come from maybe a homophobic place? Not you per se, but like as a whole.
I think maybe in some Freudian way you could probably make that connection. My fear directly, like the probing aspect, this is going to sound bad, but getting probed isn't the fear. It's being taken by alien beings is like the core of the fear. And then everything else that could possibly go wrong in that situation after being abducted.
I would say that everything went wrong out the gate if you got abducted.
That's what I'm saying, right? There can't be anything enjoyable about it unless I'm completely wrong and they're nice.
I'm gonna say what if they're super nice,
right? Like, they could be.
Like, boom, here, fear eat gone. Candy. Eat this candy, you get superpowers the rest of your life.
That's fuck yeah!
Fuck hey, yeah. Go ahead and eat this, and you can now fly.
Well, but okay. I think the likelihood is that they don't really give a shit about me. I'm not special, and they're gonna fucking
you don't have to
throw
be special,
me in a cage.
Why do they gotta be dicks when they come here? Maybe they just came to party. This could be a vacation spot for them.
I appreciate you your attempt in soothing my fear.
That's what I was doing. I thought I was just egging the fire on, but okay.
just making me look more like an ass. Yeah, no, that's totally been a fear. Like ever since I was like a little kid too, like. Do you remember the, it was like a pseudo documentary that was on like Fox, and it showed as if it was like real story of this aliens like invading this farmhouse. I forget the name of what it was, but it looked really real and it scared the shit out of me. And I don't know if it was from that point on that the fear kind of got worse or just more apparent.
Okay. So with that fear, how did you feel then last year? When the government just straight up said that aliens are real and
see,
nobody gave a
thing.
Shit. And
I'm excited about the discovery of aliens. Maybe in a way that subdues my fear of being abducted, but I am also very much interested in aliens and like discoveries of that nature and ancient alien theory. And
what if you were to find out that aliens weren't nothing but humans?
I was literally about to ask that.
Who just they discovered space travel thousands of years ago and took all their knowledge and left the fucking planet, a different race of humans. You know, like how we have like Homo sapiens and shit like that. Yeah. And they just took everything and left us dumbasses down here. And now after thousands of years, they just pop in to see what's going on and see that we're still dumb as fuck. And like,
How would I feel? Is that
your question? Yeah, because there's no allure. It'll be like, you'll see this huge spaceship open, and then some nigga named Ted comes walking out.
And then he just leaves. He's like, ah, fuck, we came too early. At least they would give some, like, credibility to that there's an existence outside of this planet. And I think that's more inspiring to at least know that, even though that brings hell of an amount more questions. But then it's like, oh shit, we are not alone in this universe, which subsides some other fears of like fear of being alone.
That's a super rational fear to have.
Yeah, emotional fears are very deep.
Even if we were alone in the universe, which I don't think we are, but let's say we were. Our one planet is so fucking big. What makes you think you have time to care about the rest of the universe?
True. But I don't know. That's a good point. I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. I think it just would feel good that there's more to it than us. I don't know. I'd have to think on that thought process a little bit more. That's a little deep.
I mean, it would feel good if there's more to it than us. But that's only if they decided to come in peace.
Well, yeah. And when you say they, like, that's just one other, like, thing. Like,
yeah.
Does that mean there's only just two of us then? Or is there then more? Does that prove that we're getting off on this subject here? We definitely need to do another alien episode. Because like I said, I'm very interested. I love it. But I am very much afraid of it. That and getting possessed by the devil. That's another fear of mine.
Jeez.
That one goes way back to it as a child, too.
I'm not going to touch that with 10-foot pole.
When I was a kid, I was afraid that as I fell asleep, my mind would somehow get tricked in selling my soul to the devil. So, like, I would have trouble sleeping as a kid, big time, because of that. And sometimes, like, that kind of, like, jumps in my head again still as an adult where I'm like, what if I just said yes, like, on accident? Like, am I going to get possessed and then now I owe my soul to the devil?
But why? Why?
I don't know. And so a couple things I can think of. I don't know if you remember the movie Left Behind.
No.
It was with Doogie Howser. They made a remake of it.
Me, Neil Patrick Harris?
Yeah. Was it Neil Patrick? No, it was the other guy. Oh, shit. What was his name?
Left Behind.
Yeah, I forget the actor's name.
Oh, the dude from... He was in one of the kid shows. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, I know
exactly. He was in, like, Day by Day or something like that, or Step by Step or some shit. I know what movie you're talking about, and I know the dude that you're talking about. I just completely am forgetting his name.
Yeah, with how religious your family was as a child, I'm surprised you didn't see this movie.
No, I mean, well, first of all, they're religious, as in they pray. Movie? They're not like...
They banned Halloween. They're not just regular religious.
Yeah, but they're not like cultic where they're like, hey, you have to see this. You have to see all religious movies.
Wait, when did this movie come out?
That's old. Early 90s, late 80s.
Yeah. Movie?
Yeah, it's not even showing up on IMDb.
Yeah, I know. I can't remember the name.
Oh, okay. So I know who you're talking about. You're talking about Kirk Cameron.
That's it.
It came out in 2000 and what is this?
Three?
2000.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's funny that you should say
maybe there's
this.
An older one then too, but.
Yeah, it's funny that you should say that about this because he only made this movie because after freaking To the Climb. Growing Pains. Yeah. After Growing Pains, he turned into a little Jesus freak.
Yeah. That's totally why. And so that movie is about the rapture, you know, where people are basically, what is it? They stay on Earth and get the mark of the beast on them, which was like a barcode tattooed on the back of their neck, and then they're automatically going to go to hell, or you basically die and you're going to go to heaven, and you know the Earth gets taken over by hell or whatever, something like that. Scared the shit out of me.
I just don't get it, and I hate.
I don't even believe in this stuff, and it got me.
That's what I'm saying. I just don't get it, and I hate the fact that it was a comedian that made me think about this, but if the devil and God don't like each other, why would the devil do God's dirty work?
But the fact is that I'm with your guys' belief in that same sense, but yet I still have this fear of being possessed and my soul being sold, even though I don't even know if I believe in a soul. But
you just,
like,
saw Exorcist one too many times as a kid.
Yeah, that's exactly what.
Never. No, wait, you weren't. No, yeah, I forgot. You weren't allowed to watch it until you got older. Yeah, I remember it now. Yeah.
Well, you know what though? I understand where you're coming from. It's not necessarily the possession thing, but I think one of my fears was related to the devil and demons and stuff like that. And that's part of the reasons why I didn't play Doom or anything like that until much, much later in life. Because the idea of hell on Earth scares the shit out of me. Like, just demons running around and all that. That is some terrifying shit.
Here's a mind fuck. What if hell is already on Earth?
What if we're in hell?
Yeah. Think about it. Think about everything that's going on. What if we're already there?
So then what happens to the people who, quote unquote, do bad things? Like, do they just stay here?
Maybe they cease to exist.
Well, that's definitely an irrational fear.
Yeah.
The hell on Earth.
Purgatory is a thing. I mean, honestly, as bad as things are here, could it get worse?
Yeah. And lots of ways.
Yeah, it could get worse. I think the last year and a half should probably have answered that for you. But, I mean, yeah, it could definitely get worse.
I mean, think about it. That's something for a different time. But
is there a spider on your shoulder, Sage?
I don't know. But we were talking about there's a
way to go.
So no fear of spiders then, huh?
Nah.
Damn it,
dude! I keep spiders in my house. I have a rule with all spiders in my house. They stay on their side of the room. They get to live. They cross that barrier. So if you
wake up with one on your forehead or something, no instant reaction.
That's never happened. But I have walked into my room and I seen a spider, and I'm like, "All right, Larry, I told you."
Larry,
you get one try. You come out again. I got to make an example out of you. And then I do. Mm-hmm. I treat them the same way I used to treat flies. I will kill a spider, then I will leave his squashed body there for like a week as a sign. So anybody comes out like, not this way. Go back.
Isn't that like a sign of something? Like
maniac? Yeah.
Dementia? I'm going to leave you a sign for your fly buddies know not to fuck with me? That's
like this ain't the house.
This motherfucker needs to be on a list somewhere. Being watched constantly.
You got to set examples, man.
Yeah, oh, yeah, you saw he was the one that brought up the Zodiac Killer, right? I mean, I wonder if he is.
I've never taken anybody out this year.
Okay. So let me ask you though, Sage, because you mentioned you're not really afraid of anything, right?
Yep.
So let me set the stage for you, okay? You're laying in bed at home. Mm-hmm. For some reason, you're naked. Mm-hmm. And you hear someone walk in the room, right? And they handcuff you to the bed, and they tell you they're about to do some foul shit to you. You're not afraid at all.
You're just gonna sit there.
No, because like I need.
I guess you gotta go all big with him.
No, because there's a couple reasons why this wouldn't happen.
You're a light sleeper, I'm assuming.
Well, that one, two. I always sleep with my alarm on. Three, I always sleep with my door locked and closed.
Wait a minute. Why do you do that?
In case somebody comes in my house at night, and I want to be able to defend myself if somebody comes in my house at night and gives me time to actually wake up.
So you
and
have
hear
a
what's
fear
going
of somebody breaking in?
No, it's not a fear. It's a safety precaution. I'm not dumb. I don't have to be. I don't have to
you
be
do
fearful.
Safety because of fears.
No. It's not really a fear. I don't have to be dumb. I mean, I don't have to be afraid to be stupid. Like, another reason I sleep with my door locked and closed is in case a fire breaks out. Then I will have time to wake up from the fire. Like, if you sleep with your door open, all the smoke just comes right in, and you'll probably die in your sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I sleep with my door closed and locked, too. But you admit there's fears behind that, though.
He's not.
Well...
I don't think it's a fear behind it. It's not a fear. It's a safety precaution. I like to be safe. I'd make smart moves to make sure that I'm safe in any situation.
Because you're afraid of dying or getting hurt.
You're really trying to hammer him with that.
Yeah, because I want him to admit it.
Just let him have it. That's the thing.
It's me giving myself a fighting chance. That has nothing to do with being afraid.
Survival.
It's me giving myself a fighting chance in any situation.
Why do you survive?
When I'm at my most vulnerable.
Well, vulnerability is so another thing.
Does that confirm you sleep naked? See,
I mean, I do. Fuck, that was me.
Wait, what if your blanket's not covering your toes?
What, my blanket is
too tough. Oh, and like your legs are hanging over the bed. Yeah. You're not afraid of like something grabby.
I have that.
I got him.
It's not a fear. It is a concern. Oh,
okay.
Though. It is a concern.
It's a concern.
Just fucking say it's a fear, okay? And I'll move on.
No, because you're trying to say everything is a fucking fear just because you do these steps. That means you're afraid of this. No. Just because you do certain things does not mean you're afraid of it.
I have to do this because your opening statement was I'm not afraid of anything. So I'm trying to prove that you are afraid of some things.
Like, for instance... People wear life jackets. Who can swim, but they still wear a life jacket. They're not afraid to drown. because they know they can swim, it's still just a safety precaution.
Yeah, he's kind of got a point there. I mean, putting it that way, you're not doing something to protect your life because you're afraid of dying. You're doing it because you just don't want to die. You know what I mean? There's not a fear associated with it. It's just...
If that was the case, then everybody would wear it. Why would there be some people that don't and some people that do?
Because not everyone is afraid. Right. Not everyone lives and operates the same way. It's the same reason why not everyone's afraid of heights. You know what I mean? Like Exhibit A from the guy here. But we're all different. You know what I mean? Like we just do things differently.
Well, there's... Okay. So we're not all afraid of heights. We're all not afraid of maybe dying even. When you go to put on an inflatable life vest?
Yeah.
You're afraid. That's safety is built due to fear. Creating safety is... It exists because of a fear.
It's not really built because of a fear. Because like I said, if you know how to swim and you're wearing a life vest, that's just the extra line. That's like insurance in case shit happened. Like you know you got this, but let's say a freak accident happens and you lose a leg. Now, I got to get back to shore. I got one leg. God, I wish I had that life vest.
Right.
That's not a fear. It's just a safety precaution.
I understand. I understand. Completely understand. And when I say the word fear, it's because it can be on a scale, something that you can overcome, little mini fears, not like debilitating ones that is like, I just found out I have cancer, so I'm afraid of dying now because of that, or I see the spider over there, I'm a little leery of it, but I'm going to kind of go about my business. So I'm but my safety precaution could be I don't open my door at night because bugs will get in. Why don't I want the bugs in? Because I don't want bugs on me. It's going to scare me if bugs are on me. So I'm afraid of those bugs. All the layers, they come back.
Or you could just not want bugs crawling on you. You don't have to be scared of them. You just don't want things crawling on you.
I'm telling you, it would scare me if I woke up and there was a bunch of bugs on me. And it would be irrational because those bugs couldn't hurt me.
I'm going to say, I'm pretty sure you have probably a couple hundred bugs crawling on you as we speak.
Yeah, microscopically speaking, sure.
Yeah.
But there are these various levels, and that's what kind of goes into deciding the fight or flight, or if that even needs to come into play. There's something, Derek, Rick.
See, I don't even know if it's levels, though. I just feel like you're trying to equate fear to be the driving force for a lot of things that it's not.
Because I believe fear is just really thought evolved into a perception of the world around us. If it's the perception of consequences, it's the perception of safety, it's the perception of survival.
Case in point, you wear a seatbelt when you drive?
Yes.
Are you scared of crashing every time you drive?
No. But so I am scared of getting a ticket if I don't wear it.
Because he's afraid of getting a ticket?
I'm afraid of getting pulled over, getting a ticket, yeah.
You're afraid of getting pulled over?
I mean, I can still be afraid of getting pulled over.
That's a fear right there. There you go. 100% afraid of the police.
I was waiting for that. But that is valid, though, and that stems from history and experience. Well, most fears do, and what's interesting is, though, some of the, like, irrational fears, say fear of water, fear of clowns, fear of spiders even, we could have these experiences, like horrible traumatic experiences, either to ourselves or witnessing it. Our brain blocks that memory out to some degree, and then we end up with the fear because our brain is saying, hey, this bad thing happened, you're not going to remember it, so I'm going to protect you there, but we're going to keep your future out of this from happening again. So somebody who is afraid of water may have had a traumatic experience where they maybe almost drowned as a baby or a kid or something, and they get blocked out, and then they never know why.
Almost drowned. They were afraid of it. Love swimming.
Well, you know, it's for some people that's an experience. You, Sage, I wonder if you fall into the category of when we experience fear, what happens is there's a release of cortisol and adrenaline in our body to sort of help protect us. And that's where you see the fight or flight experience come in. Adrenaline can also feel really good. So pleasure and fear are kind of in the same category almost because of the endorphins that get released in both instances. So you had those experiences where you almost drowned. Maybe your body and brain was like, this feels good. So I'm not going to be afraid of it. I'm not going to block this memory. I'm not going to cause you to avoid this in the future because, hey, your brain was wired in a way that was a good response, almost to some degree. You know what I mean?
I get what you're saying, but I wouldn't say that necessarily, at least for me. I would say more so, and you can attest to this because you were there when a situation like that occurs to where I should, by all rights, be afraid. Mm-hmm. Or be freaking out. It's like, for me, it's like time slows down a little bit and I can, for me to really assess the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And to react in a logical manner. And like I said, you were there like when we got robbed and the gun was in my face.
Yeah. Yeah.
Completely calm the entire time.
Mm-hmm. Me, I'm freaking out. I'm tunnel visioning. I'm scared for my life. Now, there is explanation to that. And maybe not why we saw it differently, but our brains do this sort of pathway where it bounces between different parts of our brain, this information to determine how we react. And there's, I forget what it's called. It's like short-term, long-term, where short-term, your brain hits your nervous system, takes the information, and it just autonomously reacts in a way. But then there's the long term where it bounces through these more parts of the brain, connects to your visual sensory parts, and then back into your brain to focus on what's going on and react and like be able to come up with a solution to what's going on more so. So like, I don't know if maybe there's people like you that are able to do that and more often in scary situations where you can go on the fight side of things, whereas some people might freeze or run, even though I think run might be in your option playbook too.
Oh yeah. Run is definitely an option playbook. But the thing that I would be worried about the most, the reaction somebody had in a situation like that, it wouldn't be the staying calm. It wouldn't be the freaking out. I mean, I can see those being as two completely understandable responses. It's that motherfucker who immediately goes to acceptance. So
that's like, you?
No. I'm gonna get out the situation. No.
No.
But no, these motherfuckers who immediately go like, well, I guess this is it. I'm like, what do you mean this is it?
Right, right.
What do you mean? Like, what? No, there's so many other avenues we can go from here.
Yeah, and I think that's a survivalist response, right? Like you're looking for the most efficient way to survive in any given of those situations. And that's where, like, in that robbery we were in together, like, I tunnel visioned out, my body is shaking, which is all a result of those endorphins and adrenaline just surging through your body and not being able to really react to the situation at hand, where yours was maybe your brain allowed you to react to the situation in real time.
Yeah, because and I can honestly tell you what I was thinking about the whole time. Because when it happened and they came in, and they were like, "Oh, give us all the money." Like I said, everything froze me for a second, and I was like, "I could probably grab that gun." But then I was like, "It's not my money." Then I was like, "Like, I don't really like this place that much. I don't really give a shit. Whatever y'all want."
Like, you know what's funny about that, though? And you can tell that you didn't have as much of a hard time with that like Jen did, because I've known you for over a decade and I didn't know you were even there. I knew Jen was there for the robbery, but I didn't know you were there. So that just goes to show you don't bring it up like that. You can tell that you weren't really affected long term like that from it.
Now, to be fair, though, like, I was point person in this situation, so
what do you mean, I'd be curious. Like,
what do you mean you were a point person? I didn't have the password for the safe yet.
Mm.
So we both emptied out the registers, and then he was like, open the safe. And then he was like, all right. Like, then Justin put in the code for the safe. And then we had an awkward 5 minutes.
He's like, I'm going to kill you if this don't open. I'm like, it's like, on a timer.
So I'm like, bro, it's on a timer. It is what it is. And then I thought, I did think that I got away at one point because his one buddy was an idiot. Because he was like, oh, why don't you go get me one of them Xboxes out the back? I was like, want me to go behind the metal door and get you an Xbox? Cool. Got it. No problem, B. And I got to the door, and then his one friend was like, no, wait a minute. And I was like, all right, shit. I was home free.
Yeah, leaving us in the dark.
Yeah, you're going to leave? Oh, man.
But, I mean, ain't nobody get hurt. Everybody got fine. It was a cool story. And you can tell some people, yeah, because the store was full of people.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't just you two in there.
No, the store was full of people. And
it was me and Sage and another employee.
Yeah, every customer in the store just started reading whatever game case they were reading with the most intent study, as if it was a fucking Oxford exam or something.
Like, hilarious.
Nobody looked up. Nobody said a word.
And the sad thing, that one dude was wearing his coat, and he like hit his kid inside his coat.
Yeah.
Mm.
It was wild.
Wait, so if I'm not mistaken, didn't they catch those?
Oh, yeah, they had the dumbest getaway ever.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Like, I don't think they got more than 30 fucking feet away.
Yeah, because if I'm not mistaken, Walmart. They caught.
Because that's where their getaway car was at. They parked their getaway car, the one place that only had one exit and cameras.
You cannot get out of there. You really can't get out of there. These are kids.
They were like 19 years old or something like that. They were young. They were idiots.
Didn't one of them have a shotgun?
Yeah, it was a shotgun and a 22.
A shotgun.
22. That motherfucker was a Rick Grimes gun. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, it was a 22.
That was a fucking Rick Grimes gun.
This man said a Rick Grimes gun. That's hilarious.
It was a snub nose 22.
That was not a snub nose. That motherfucker was.
It was not
built
not,
for war.
It was not.
My memories might be.
I think a lot of it probably helped me too because I grew up around guns. My grandfather was a gun nut, so I've been shooting guns and messing around with guns.
Yeah, I never handled a gun. Yeah. Still haven't, but
you know what? I've never handled one either. But I'm also not really. I'm not nervous to handle one. You know, I've never really been afraid of.
I'm not gonna lie, like they're fun as shit. Like
like
you shoot it one time, you'd be like, okay, I get it now. I'm with Texas.
I'm with Texas. Like, I feel you.
So we talked mostly about, well, maybe not including mine because they're irrational, but like tangible fears, physical fears. What about some of the emotional fears that we see? And I'm curious if you guys experience any of these, like fear of not amounting to anything, or like fear not of accomplishing everything before you die, or fear of loneliness, fear of getting rejected talking to a girl.
Okay, I will address those categorically.
Yeah, I will too. Well,
don't give a fuck, don't care, it doesn't bother me.
No. As a kid, I was definitely afraid of being rejected by women. And then one of my cousins told me the simplest thing ever. The worst thing they could say is no.
Yeah.
And ever since then, I was like, okay, whatever. And I tried
to get over it, right?
Yeah. I was like, well, yeah, all they can do is say no. Cool. Keep moving. I mean, there's plenty of other fish in the sea. The fear of loneliness, also as a kid, in some of my high school years, I was scared of ending up alone and, you know, never finding anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But then the older I got, the more happy I became with solitude and being alone. Like this is my happy spot. Like, I hate it when people are around. We already had this before. We've been down this road.
But companionship, family, I think that's a different case. You've lacked it, so you realize companionship, not needing it.
Companionship, it's not something I'm afraid. Like, if I have it, I have it. If I don't, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't feel like it's something that I need. I feel like if it's something that will happen, it will happen. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I mean, it's not meant for everybody.
Right. But like the idea of like 80-year-old Sage by himself, nobody, maybe a fear of not getting like taken care of, you know, or being taken care of by hospitals. None of
I'm
that.
Being an old folks home, banging out some old granny cheese.
Oh my God.
Yeah, no, that's valid. That's totally valid. Not everybody's going to have those types of fears.
I'm going to say fear of not accomplishing things.
Before that, you die, like not accomplishing everything, you know?
Everything before you die. I had to come to a realization of that when I was 19, 20. That took a while to get over, but just because you believe in your heart that you're meant to do something or this is something that you're supposed to do, I mean, your path is different. What was the old saying? Like if you want to make God laugh, make plans in stone or about like what you're going to do in the future, because it never pans out that way.
Right. I see. That's funny. Like, yeah, no, that's a good outlook to have for sure. I think, we're getting older, but I don't know if we're quite at the point where, you know, the whole midlife crisis thing, I think that's bred out of, you know, fear of not having done enough, you know, by the time you're hitting that age. So I'm curious how we'll kind of, as we get older, how that maybe fear comes into play more.
See, I don't know that, because I mean, for what I can say is, what I can say for most of us, as far as I know, we've done a lot. We lived a lot more in the little amount of time we've been here than I feel like our parents or our parents' parents have, because we've had a lot because of technology. We've been able to experience way more than they could.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't think that's fair. I don't know if midlife crisis thing would actually hit for us the same way that it would for them.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think I'm definitely afraid of being alone, right? Like I've dealt with that for my whole life. You know, I think one of the things that bothers me the most has always been I have pretty bad abandonment issues. That's why I'm so quick to be like, fuck that guy or whatever, fuck that person. And a lot of it has to deal with that fear of letting someone get too close.
Yeah.
And then they just decide randomly, you know what, I don't feel like dealing with you anymore. And I'm just going to be honest with you. The very first time that I've ever truly understood that there is someone out there that's not possible is my youngest daughter. Violet.
Mm-hmm. Your youngest?
Yeah, because I didn't
Dakota never listen to this.
Well, no, because
now we know who's the favorite.
I know, right?
That's funny. You're not supposed to have a favorite. With that being said, I'm kidding. No, I think the reason why it's like that, because like I looking at Dakota, I know when I eventually go, she'll be okay. Right. She has other people that she surrounds herself with. She has her mom and they're very close. Violet, on the other hand, it's strange, dude. It's the weirdest thing in the world to me because I've never experienced this before. I've never had that feeling of someone where they look at you and they're like, dude, you're the shit. I don't want to be here without you. Dakota she loves me as far as I can tell, but she's not emotional in that way. Whereas Violet, I mean, dude, I do anything. I cough. I hear Violet yelling from halfway across the house. Are you okay? You know, or she pats my back constantly. She's, dude, the girl is just.
That just means she's a daddy's girl.
Right. Right.
But is it also possible that's temporary until she gets older?
It's
100%. Oh, it's 100%. But yeah, it's
definitely. That's only going to fuel your abandonment issues even more. Then that's going to be devastating. Yeah.
Wait,
it will be. But
she get an EAN behind her number. His day's a number.
Oh, for sure. But you know, the other thing too is I'm afraid of with most people in general. If you're great as a kid, there's like some moment later in life where there's a switch where now you're the opposite. You're a real piece of shit. And I've seen it. I was a complete bastard as a child. I mean, you hear the stories about me as a kid. Fuck you, Craig. But you hear the stories about me as a kid, and I was awful. But yeah. You see me now, and most people who know me know that I'm, you know, I'm a decent guy. I don't fuck with people like that.
I get that. I was super nice and quiet as a kid.
Right now, I want the message to be put out here. Don't let this dude fool you. Sage is one of the nicest people on the planet. I'm going to ruin your reputation.
I need some exhibits here.
My job, my career is because of you.
He does it very well to hide the evidence too. So when he says specifics, yeah, he's not going to let that happen.
Now he is also the biggest piece of shit on the planet because he's signed me up for like gay dating websites and this guy's a maniac, but he's also one of the nicest guys in the world. And I'm saying that to say, oh, this fucking guy, but I'm saying that to say that, that's something that the fear of abandonment, I've always had that. I don't really want to go too deep.
Says fuck you, then you're going to be really hurt.
No, it's different because if you're, if Sage were to just be like, yeah, fuck you, I don't feel like dealing with you anymore. Like, I'm old enough now where I'm going to be like, all right, well, you know, fine, fuck it. But there's nothing I can do about it. But if it were, maybe it's just with women. I don't know. But
is it really women or is it just violence?
Certain women. What do you mean?
Like, if what are you talking about, the abandonment issue? So Violet's like that right now. Like super, super sweet, super caring, super nice. She hasn't gone through puberty yet. And she also hasn't been shaped by the world yet.
Right. No, I don't think it's that because I've been like this before her. She's actually the first example that I've seen where, like, even with my parents, like if I do something to a certain degree, I've gone months without talking to my mom. I've gone months without talking to my dad.
Teach me your secrets.
Where I've gone months without
talking to them. Don't live in their
house. Yeah. I've gone months of not talking to them for me just doing something little, just something simple. And so that's why I'm like, even with them, I'm not saying they'll turn their back on me. But what I'm saying is if I do something, I know that there's a limit. Whereas with Violet currently, I don't think there is a limit. Right. Like, obviously, I'm not going to do anything intentionally to hurt her. And I pride myself on keeping my promises with them, but I do know that's gonna give it 5-7 more years, 8 more years, something like that. That's definitely gonna change.
See, the thing is, you have already identified that you have abandonment issues, and you probably know the origin of it, whether you care to share or not. But
yeah,
identifying and realizing that you go through that allows you to navigate that in every relationship that you come across, whether it's friendship, a lover, or family. You can navigate and open the floodgates and close them as needed because you have an awareness of what that means to you. And it gives you the opportunity to take risks going against that issue. Whereas people that may not have identified that they have that, they just close everybody off regardless because of that innate fear of the abandonment, you know? So you kind of self-therapized yourself in that you can have these relationships even though you know there's a potential. So you're kind of risk weighing on everything you do.
I've done that for a large part of my life, actually, where a lot of my issues are me seeing that I have an issue and looking in and just figuring out a way to do it myself. And a lot of that stems from abandonment issues where I don't feel like I can rely on people to bear my soul with.
Well, that's what I was about to ask the question. Now, are you sure it's abandonment and maybe not commitment?
No, it's not commitment because, I mean, no, it's definitely not commitment because I've been the same girl for 15 years. Like, I've been working my ass off to keep my family together, and that has not worked. So yeah, I don't think it's an abandonment issue.
Just because you're with the same person that you've been with 15 years, that doesn't mean it's not a commitment issue. That just means that subconsciously you may know it's not going to work, and but you don't want to put in the effort of letting somebody else in or getting to know somebody else, which is why you just stick with what you know.
No, I don't. The only reason why I don't agree there.
It happens to a lot of people. It's a common thing. People stay married for years.
Rick totally has commitment issues, but it's only with video games.
Right. Yeah, definitely. No. Okay, so he's not wrong in the commitment issues in terms of like everything else outside of relationship. Like I don't fit. Like I have a bottle of Gatorade right here that's not fucking finished, and I've got another bottle of water here that's quite like no, that's for sure. but like as far as relationships go, no, I have no problem with meeting other people and letting them in.
When I say commitment issues, I wasn't just talking about just like a relationship, like a romantic relationship.
No, I've let other people in. It's just been, it's not the fear of, I don't think it's a fear of commitment. I think it's more of a fear of, before it was my family, right? That was my main focus of not losing my family. Mm-hmm. Now that's not the goal anymore. The goal now is to just better myself. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to just be 100% honest with you. I'm at the age and point now where I don't really give a fuck anymore about relationships and a girlfriend. Like, that was cool 5 years ago, but I've been beat to hell with that subject for so long. I have no concern for that right now. Like, girlfriend, dating, whatever the case may be, whatever. My priority right now is getting myself to where I want to be.
Do you think all that stuff has the potential to flood to the forefront if you were to meet somebody that you truly felt connected to? Do those fears come into play at that moment, you think?
The fear of wanting to
abandonment, improve my health? All that's – no, just the other things, yeah.
No, maybe. I mean, because I've been in a situation where, you know, I met someone after having the girls. And yeah, I thought things were cool, but I don't think it was a commitment thing. I think it was just more of like two people just weren't seeing eye to eye. But it's as far as like abandonment, like I think I've been beaten over the head for so long with that to begin with. I almost kind of expect it, to be honest with you, where I'm kind of looking at someone where I'm like, all right, if I do the wrong thing, you're going to bounce. And I mean, that's cool. I don't want to live my life in fear of someone else leaving. Like, if I'm afraid of anything, it's me that is the cause of it, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't want to be afraid of someone else.
I have a question. So you said about bettering yourself.
See.
So would you say that you're happy right now?
I'm happy with where I'm at. And yeah, I mean, of course, I could always do more.
You're happy with yourself as a whole at this moment.
As a whole. See, that's a multi-layered thing because like currently right now, like if I think about it right now as a person, yes, I am happy. Right. But there's definitely things that I want to improve.
I'll only ask that because and I realized this a while ago. You're never truly going to be able to be happy in any relationship whatsoever until you are happy. That's why I'd say people who go from super long relationship to super long relationship and just always have to be in a relationship, I'm like, no, you need to stop doing that. You need to learn how to be happy by yourself. Because the second you start being happy by yourself, you realize you don't really need anybody else. So it's not a need to be with this person. You actually want to be with this person at that point then.
Right. Well, I disagree though, because fundamentally, most humans do need companionship. We're built around tribalism and social.
We have social needs. Constructs. We have tribal. We have social. We have so many different ways these days to constantly be in contact with your peers and others. That the actual physical need for somebody there next to you is minimal. Like yes,
I disagree. No, because the warmth of a hug, the rush of feelings that comes over just being touched by another human in non-romantical or romantical way is built into us fundamentally, that doing away with it, I think, is only an option for people that
I think you're understanding me wrong then. Because
I agree with your premise in that we should be okay with ourselves and be happy with ourselves before we're able to allow another person into that But I think that's where the cutoff for me is that you said it's okay to just be alone and you should be okay with that, when that kind of goes against our fundamentals.
Mm. And you're part of the problem then, because you seem to think that you have to be in a relationship when you have to be.
That's not what I said. No.
That's what you're alluding to. You're saying that, oh, because of historically or scientifically, whatever you put it, like they're saying that, yes, we have this innate need to be with other people, and that mm-hmm. innate need causes issues. It is a evolutionary thing, but I feel like maybe we're evolving past that because of the way that society is structured now based on versus how it was back then. I mean, now you can be alone and still feel that connection because you have so many different avenues to get that connection from. I'm not saying that be alone forever. Like, yes, once you're happy being alone and you're happy with yourself, happy with everything the way it is, then at that point, everybody you meet going forward, you're not just out there grasping at straws. You'll know what you're willing to deal with, what you're not willing to deal with,
100%
and who actually brings value to the table.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Improving yourself gives you tool set to identify your happiness and what makes you happiness or what makes you happy. I just didn't want it to sound like mistaking Grinch syndrome, where you're super walled up until Cindy Lou Who touches your heart and you realize you were missing it your whole time.
What was her name?
Cindy Lou Who.
Cindy Lou Who. Oh, okay, I thought I heard that.
You never seen the Grinch, have you?
yeah, probably not.
Yeah, okay.
She's super hot now, by the way.
Is she?
Yeah.
That's funny.
She's ridiculously hot now.
Yeah, I mean, emotional fears are definitely something. I don't know if they're more prominent now, but I think it's more accepting to identify now. Like, we're seeing a lot more positivity in identifying mental health issues and things like that. And that is identifying some of those fears that we have in an emotional sense.
Yeah, and people, we are doing a better job of identifying them now. But I feel like we can identify them a lot more sooner now. But as far as dealing with them, I feel like it's actually getting worse.
Yeah, how so?
I mean, think about it when we were kids or in high school or whatever, getting bullied, doing whatever, being depressed. We dealt with it. We got over it. And we became stronger from it. Like, we didn't just give up. I mean, yeah, you had a couple outliers here and there. But you know, we got stronger from it. Nowadays, kids get bullied or teased or whatever, and they're going either off in themselves or off in the entire fucking school.
I see what you're saying completely, and I don't know what's changed. Like, are we
people are more
not allowing people to get over it and just? Well,
I think it's stemming from this new coddling fucking that they're doing with kids, mm-hmm. like this whole participation trophy bullshit.
Kid, I don't want to go too far down that road, but
no, I'm just saying that parents are afraid to let their kids fail or feel pain nowadays, which I get. As a parent, you don't want them to do that. But at the same time, they need to feel that so they know how to process it and deal with it.
Yeah, and I agree completely, because in bringing it back to fear is that when we were growing up, you know, we had a fear of failing. So when, like you mentioned, participation, where there's no fear of failing because you get something regardless. So having fear allows us to do better and do better because we can overcome that and we try harder because there is a consequence, or we're afraid of this, that, and that.
Yeah.
Which is the kind of the premise that we grew up on.
That I can agree with, because, you know, you felt it one time. You're like, dude, I don't want to feel this way again. Let me push myself harder, or let me do this that way, because I don't want that to happen again.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But now they aren't getting the same killer's edge. I mean, and it shows. It really does.
I'm not saying we should, you know, beat our kids, but
that was the other thing. Kids today ain't getting their ass beat.
You're right. Like, there should have punishment.
There should have been multiple murders of parents in the 90s. Multiple.
That's hilarious. Jesus, man.
Dude, if you grew up in a black household in the 90s, you 100% should have been had DCFS on speed dial.
I threatened my parents with DCFS a couple times.
Yeah. No, I never did. I wasn't silly. But,
no, because you probably would have got a harsher punishment had you even thought of calling DCFS.
I remember when my mom realized that the belt and her hand weren't like effective anymore, you know, and so she decided to buy one of those plastic bats that you see. Now, okay, so here's the thing: she never hit us with it. She never hit us with it. But just the fear of that thing flying across your face, just that was enough to straighten us out. She would always take it out, or she'd be like, go get my bat. And that would be it. We would stop whatever we were doing. So I think you can threaten your kids to behave. just don't aggressively go to town on them.
I thought you were about to say that she realized that the belt and the hand wasn't working. So she went and got some boxing gloves. She's like, all right, we about to do this for real. I'm like,
No, I would never. Because, dude, no. Act up. I would never.
Come home from school, you know what? Catch a two-piece. Like, what just happened?
Fear, the thing about my mom, too, is she, like a lot of mothers, where they're the ones that kind of yell, and dad is kind of the one that's chill.
Not my mom.
Yeah, my mom was
We've heard those stories.
No, my mom was the one that was yelling constantly. And my dad was the one that was kind of like, you know, whatever. But I know if I said anything disrespectful to my mom, it was my dad coming around the corner that would scare the hell out of me. Because my dad, I have some stories for you all about my dad. That's another topic. But, dude, my dad is a psycho. He's real low key about it.
Bro.
You have a fear of your dad.
Yeah, my mom went to jail in 94 for beating up a grown ass man.
Good for her.
Not my dad. Just some other random dude.
Yeah.
Did he deserve it?
I don't know. I just remember going to the jail to pick her up.
I remember you told us something that your mom, didn't she stab you or something?
No, she hit me with a car.
Was that what it was?
She hit me with a car.
Ray stabbed him.
Yeah, Ray stabbed me. She put a
Jesus, man.
She put an iron on my hand. She a hot iron at that. She beat me while I was in the bathtub. My sister hit me in the head with a brick twice.
Oh, this man. Why am I laughing? I don't know. Jesus, man. They're beating your ass, and you just you had to have been provoking them. Like what?
No.
You just were just sitting there eating cereal, and they were like, "Fuck you."
No, I don't really remember when my sister hit me with a brick.
Because your mind blocked it out.
She hit the part of your head where you just don't remember.
Your brain was like, "We're not going to remember this experience for your own safety."
I'm surprised you remember your alphabet.
Well, he can't spell for shit, so he might not.
I don't need to spell.
His sister knocked the spelling out of him.
We got autocorrect now.
All right, so top 10. Top 10 fears for 2001. American fears. It's just limited to that in 2021. Number 10, widespread civil unrest. Is the number 10th top fear in America. Number 9, high medical bills.
Okay.
I don't care. I got insurance.
Yeah.
Number 8, hate crimes.
Can't really be afraid of if you've been living with your whole life. Just used to it.
Well, earlier you said you were afraid of getting pulled over. So
I am afraid of the cops, but still, it's a constant state at this point.
Number 7, becoming terminally ill.
You just been gloss over that? Okay.
Well, I mean, becoming terminally ill for number 7, which you would think that would be kind of higher up, given COVID.
Well, you said this was 2001, right?
Or 2021. 2021. Oh, okay. Yeah, 2021. Number 6, government corruption.
Oh, okay.
Why is that even on the list?
I mean, we're coming off of a crazy fucking political
environment. The very word government in Latin means corruption.
Is that true?
No, I don't know. 100% pulled that. 100%
pulled that. I believe him too.
You just made that up. Lawyered.
I definitely was like, wow, really? That's insane.
Yeah, I know, right? Number five, terrorism.
Marka.
Number four, not having enough money for retirement. Number four.
That's a real thing, but well, we won't have enough.
It's that's scary to think about.
Well, no, I mean, it's kind of acceptance because studies
have
always
that fear, I think.
Studies have already shown that our generation, we're going to need at least $2 million to survive on retirement.
Yeah, you just made my fear even more heightened.
Well, time to invent some shit.
Yeah, right. Let's get the. Hey, don't forget to hit up patreon.com/havenexchange.
or, yeah, there you go.
Number three, mass shootings.
Oh, well, yeah.
Well, we grew up in Chicago, so we should be kind of fine with that.
What do you think the next two, the top fear of 2021 and the second top fear?
What, the number one's got to be COVID. If it's not COVID, then
it's not COVID, but think broad scale, I guess.
Climate change?
What do you think, Sage?
I don't know. So many different things that people are afraid of.
I want to go number? Ladders.
Ladders.
Ladders, well.
Ladders are racist, too. Number two is loved ones becoming seriously ill.
Okay.
So I think COVID plays a part in that now.
Yeah.
And then number one would be loved ones dying. Yeah. It's the top fear in America right now.
I feel like somebody copped out with those last two ones, but okay.
Now, for comparison's sake, 2001's top 10 list, a little bit different. Number 10 on that is thunder and lightning.
Okay.
Which is number 39 on 2021's list. It's 39th place. So thunder and lightning was top 10. Or the 10th top fear in 2001. Number nine, dogs.
Oh, my goodness. Dogs are cool as shit, man.
Number eight, flying on an airplane.
Okay.
So flying on an airplane and dogs aren't even on the top 40 of this year's list anymore. Number seven, mice. Not on the current list.
It's pronounced Mises's.
Mises.
Yes. Mises.
Number six, needles and getting shots, which is number 38 on this year's top fear list, which is kind of interesting, right? With vaccinations and COVID, like you would think that would be a higher fear. Number five, spiders and insects. Remember, this is 2001. So that is number 28 on this year's top list. Number four, being closed in a small space. And number three, heights. What do you think number one and two is from 2001?
Oh, terrorism. For sure. It's gotta be one of them. 2001.
Al-Qaeda.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Terrorism and then technology.
Terrorism and technology.
Space Jews.
Y2K.
Yeah.
Space Jews? Okay.
Space Jews? That's hilarious.
You're both wrong. Number two is public speaking.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a pretty well-known fear, though.
I mean, I'm afraid of it. But, yeah. I mean, like, I wouldn't. I guess.
Do you know why you get butterflies in your stomach?
Because I got to poo.
You get butterflies in your stomach when you gotta poo?
Dude, isn't that what everyone goes through?
No.
That's different from
just no.
So when you
must not know that saying then. Like your tummy grumbling is different from butterflies in your stomach.
Is it though?
Yeah. You know that feeling when you get nervous and it kinda like feels weird in your stomach? Sage, I'm not an idiot,
that's,
right?
Like, that's when he goes and uses his bidet.
It's bidet time!
Hey, man.
Well,
awesome haters.
Fun fact, butterflies in the stomach is a response to fear or stress, nervousness, some of those things, where your body is rushing oxygen and blood away from the unimportant organs in your body, such as like your stomach, and rushing that all to your limbs to get ready for fight or flight. So that feeling is the oxygen and blood getting prioritized to your limbs.
Did not know that.
Fun fact. And that you can thank the parasympathetic nervous system, which is, controls like, yeah, whatever. Number one of 2001, snakes.
Yeah.
Which is still number 12 on this year's top 40 fears.
You know, the one thing I'm surprised has not come up in this entire thing, what people being afraid of, is the ocean.
Dude, it took everything in me to not say a joke right there. Oh my god, it was right. I wanted to say it so bad. But
that's gross right there, my friends.
But Sage, I think majority of the people are not even, don't even experience the ocean in their entire life. So I think that's probably why it's not as common as you might think.
If there's anything we need to be afraid of, is that motherfucker.
Yeah.
Endless water, and we still don't know what's
at the bottom. Yeah. I don't want to know.
No. Don't go down there. Just leave it alone. Whatever. Just don't fuck with it. All right. Leave it alone. That's probably where your aliens are at.
It's not fun times down there.
There's theories about that, Rick.
Yeah, they're probably like, hey, these assholes are never gonna. They're too stupid. They're never gonna come down here. What was that? The dude that he was doing an expedition or something like that in water, and he said it's pitch black, and he was under there. The way they were using the bathroom out there was they had to swim out to this little part of the encampment or whatever they were at, and he said he just happened to turn around and he just saw an eyeball looking at him.
Yep.
I thought you told us on a previous episode that was your cousin or something that this happened to.
No.
I swear to God, that's what happened.
No, that's not. No.
You've told this story before. I could have swore it was a relative.
No.
That's the international sign to get the fuck out of here. I don't need to be here. See, my thing with the ocean, okay, I guess, yeah. Okay, we can go say that. 100% scared of the ocean. I will say that. My thing with the ocean is the fact we don't know what's down there. Put it like this. We still are discovering new animals on land.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Like they just found a poisonous bird the other day.
A poisonous bird?
Yeah.
Like oh my goodness.
It's like its defense mechanism. It like makes you, like if you touch it, it's not a super strong paralytic, but you lose all feeling in your hand and stuff, and it's weird. I was looking at a video.
Where does it secrete it from? Its wings?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I've heard about that bird, yeah.
But that's the crazy part. It's 2021, and we still find new animals on land. And we can see here. We can look around.
If you think about how long, even just the span of time that humans have even been on this planet and the planet's entire existence, it's very minimal when you think of, like, I mean, 1% of the time that dinosaurs spent on this planet. It's crazy.
That's some scary shit, man.
No, it's scarier.
Oh, God.
The ocean.
The ocean. I hope one day we crack being able to breathe underwater. That would be so dope.
No?
Nah.
No.
Nah. Nah.
Because then people are gonna have excuses to go down there?
Yeah. That's exciting.
They're going to wake some shit up that needs to just stay sleeping. Just leave it alone.
Well, two hours in, we found a real fear in Sage. I love it.
<Mm-mm>. You want to find out that the Kraken is real? I don't.
That'd be cool, though, right?
Yeah, you'd be like, oh, my God, it's cool. 2 seconds later.
Man, I mean, I live on land, so I rarely visit the ocean to where there's a chance, so I don't really have a fear of the Kraken.
Fear of the Kraken.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I forget that there is a term for the fear of the ocean too. I've been seeing it a lot on TikTok actually, but I can't remember what the term is.
I just like to think of it as the fear of the unknown.
Yeah, I'm sure there's that the larger picture of that. So we're kind of getting close to the end here, man. And it would be kind of interesting to talk about like some of the more random fears out there, like the fear of the number 13 and things like that. Or even the idea of emotional contagions, where people's fears can be picked up due to the reaction of other people due to our evolutionary things. Like, people weren't afraid of clowns until the movie It came out, and people and seeing the people's reactions to that movie, an emotional contagion.
Wait, are you saying that as a fact?
As a fact, statistically, yeah. You see a giant raise in fear of clowns come after that movie, which is one of the highest grossing horror movies.
I would like to counterpoint that with Gacy.
He painted up like a clown, didn't he, right?
Yeah.
What year was he? That was 60s, right?
It was way before the 90s.
Sure. Like, I'm sure that bred some fear of clowns.
Some?
But when you see
a lot.
So yeah, there's so much to talk about in fear that we only scratched the surface on this, but it was very interesting. Is there any other fears you guys want to bring up before we start closing out the show?
No, just want to say fuck the ocean.
he's really set on that. That would be cool. I would like to talk more about the ocean too. There's some fun stats there. How about you, Rick? Anything? Any closing words you want to say about fear?
No, I think I touched on all the major ones. Oh, I kind of glossed on. I don't fuck with roller coasters.
Yeah.
And that's more of it's a mixture of height and the motion of it all.
Will you never ride one?
No. Okay. No. On the off chance, if like, you know, somebody's like, hey, you know, $1 million, blah, 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 whatever. Sure.
Yeah.
But of my own free will, no, absolutely not.
Yeah. Weren't you telling me you had a fear of priests because of some experience you had?
No. I got banned from a hospital. I got banned from a church before, though.
How do you get banned from church?
That's a long story. That's going to be a different topic.
He was coming on to the priest.
Yeah. It was about what I did to him.
Father O'Malley.
Like, sir, that's not allowed.
Don't do it. I swear it's a bidet. Dude, what if you could get your bidet blessed? And so you just get holy water.
All right.
Cleaning out the devil's hole.
All right. I'm out.
You think rich priests got their bidets blessed? Like the evangelists, they bless their toilet.
It wouldn't be the toilet.
What,
it wouldn't be.
What are you talking about?
I don't know.
All right, I was
full circle. We started the show with bidets. We got to close out on it.
You know what? That's a good point.
I was actually about to go into more detail about it. I'm not going to. I'm just going to leave it. I'm going to let that rest.
Just let that one. That is funny. You guys are.
Man, said. In this show.
Well, thanks everybody for tuning in to another episode of the Haven Exchange podcast. Fear, I think it's a good thing. We kind of equate it to a bad thing, but it's obviously kept humanity alive. It's allowed us to evolve into where we are today. It helps us, I believe, overcheat or accomplish things. It builds us into better people. When you think of the idea of if you were born on this planet as a superhero, invulnerable, all-powerful, without ever having fear of consequences or anything like that, do you really think you're going to be the hero? Or are you going to just go fucking rob and get all the money you want? We like to believe that we would do the right thing, but without the fear of consequences, there's a good chance that we're all going to be supervillains. And I will say that because... Is morality built around fear? Maybe. Or is it innate? It's a question for another day.
Oh, my God.
But thanks, everybody, for tuning in. My name is Genesis. You can catch me over on twitch.tv/Genesis_GH. We're streaming over there. and follow me on social medias, Genesis_GHN, to continue the conversation there. Rick!
Well, you can still follow me on Twitch at twitch.tv/phantom_GH. Same thing on Twitter at phantom_GHN. And that's pretty much it for now. Pretty much.
Just don't unfollow him, as we learned. It might be a little bit more devastating.
No. And you know what? I would appreciate it if you could give me a follow on Twitter, because I would like to hit 100 followers before the end of the year.
Let's go. There you go. Hit him up on Twitter.
Yeah. That's pretty much it.
And then, there, of course, there's me.
Yes.
Sage. I'm not going to leave you with where to find me or where to follow me, but I will leave you with this one tidbit of information. If you ever find yourself in a situation where fear is taking over and you're not sure how to respond to fear by thinking of it as a acronym. Fuck everything and run. I'm out.
Goodbye.
Fuck everything and run. That's funny.
It's the most wismatic shit he's ever said on this podcast. Is wismatic even a word? I don't know, but it sounded cool. So thanks everybody for listening. Goodbye.
Bye.
Run.
This is the Haven Exchange.